God is good. How many believe that God is good today? And His mercy endureth forever. Amen? Well, please give your neighbor a high five and tell him that God loves you. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated today. Thank you so much for being here at this worship experience. I want to welcome you watching online. We have people watching in South Africa. I saw my friends watching in South Africa, in Singapore, Indonesia, Europe. Come on, give them a hand as they're watching. Thank you so much. New York, Chicago. We love it. Well, as my wife mentioned, we're getting ready to take our next step and move forward as a church. Amen. And God has been amazing. You know, in the last 10 years at this property, God has grown the church 1,000 times more. And we've built twice in the last 7 years. And it's amazing what God has done. And yet, how many believe that the best is yet to come? So God's always progressing. He's always moving. And I believe that for your life, too. And so today in this message, I just want to, this is a special message as we kind of conclude, not kind of, as we conclude our use of this room as we know it. Of course, it'll be used for other things, primarily older kids, teenagers, college students, whatnot, putting a second floor in here, starting that in June, maximizing our space for all of them. But as we conclude the use of this room as we know it, I want to speak a special message today. And I want to speak on this in terms of our church, but of course for your life personally too. And I believe that God will, He'll speak to you today. I believe, encourage you today, maybe even convict you today. And we're going to move forward to our next step. Amen. So this month, we've done a series called This Is Us, talking about how we're more alike than we know, and that all of us have a past. All of us have good and bad in our past, and that tends to show itself right now in our present. And yet all of us are reaching for a future. Amen. And so we've talked about, you know, being healed from the inside out. We've talked about, you know, God's house party. We've talked about different aspects of Jesus. And today I want to preach on our door. Everyone say our door. I believe we're walking through our door. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. I'm going to read from the old school version today, King James. Old school. So the cometh and the thous and the thees. Let's get ready. If you don't have your Bibles, look on the screen behind me. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, notice this, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh, there we go, old school, not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and that you may have life more abundantly. So, Father, I thank you for this great worship experience. I thank you for what you're doing in this room. And I thank you that, Jesus, you are our door. And we move through you. In you, we live, move, and have our being. I pray that all of us today would be touched by your presence and touched by your power. I pray that all of us would take our next step. We would be kept safe in this room and as we leave this week and as we move forward one step at a time, that all of us would lay down distractions and any resistance, that all of us would receive freely from you. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Our door. You know, we think about the idea of doors and the idea of this is us and all of us are connected more than we realize. Think about how doors are really a part of our life in many different ways. Every day of our life, we enter a door and we leave through a door. In fact, we enter and leave through multiple doors every day of our life. It's a part of us. We don't even think about it. Now, if there's a real fancy door or something sticks out to us, maybe we'll notice it. But really, we don't even think about it. We just walk through a door and leave through a door. And we know that. That's the very base. It's the very practical part of our lives, going in and out of buildings and whatnot in rooms. But then we also have this terminology where we think of doors as opportunities. And so maybe some of us have used the phrase like, God is opening up a door for me. or a business door is opening up. I'm going to walk through it, or a scholarship door has opened up. And so we use this term to really signify opportunities, you know, spiritually, financially, relationally. I've walked through the door, I'm getting married, or et cetera. We use this idea to take our next step. If you think about the greatest door of all doors is Jesus. And I want to just break this. This is very simple today. It's right here in the scripture every weekend. I just want to preach right from the Bible and make it very practical for all of us to receive and to practice. But I want to say that not only is Jesus our door, because he is, but I want to just stay here just for a moment and say, really, Jesus is the center of everything. And the church, if you're not a Christ follower, today is your day to receive Jesus. Jesus is the center of civilization. He's the centerpiece of it. He is the center of creation. He is the center of the church. He is the center of eternity. He is the number one character, if you will, in human history. Everything was leading up to him. And then when he died on the cross, and then at the resurrection, now everything is waiting for him. He is who he said he is. And like I say often, he's a bad mamma jamma. You got to receive Jesus. And so he is God's manifestation to us. And he changed everything when he came. For this message and for what Jesus said, and I use this version because I like the terminology as I felt just the leading of the Lord for this message as we go through our door into our next season, into our next phase as a church, and for your life, I thought of this version because Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus is the door of new beginnings. Jesus is the door of deliverance. Jesus is the door of eternal life. Jesus is the door for all that we need. Can someone say amen? So I want to break down three things today in these verses that happens when you and I walk through the door of Christ. The first is the greatest miracle that has ever been and ever will be. Notice in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, notice this next phrase, he shall be saved. The number one thing that happens to you and I when you and I go through the door of Jesus, we walk through the door of Christ, is we're saved. Everyone say, I'm saved. And that is the greatest miracle, beyond any other miracle we can think of. This past week, a girl testified in our church of how she had a tumor on her brain, and she received prayer from Pastor Kim praying for her, and she went back to the doctor, and that thing is gone from her brain. That's a miracle. Isn't that awesome? God can do that. And he's alive and well to do that, and that's not weird. That's normal because he's God. But even above that miracle, the greatest one of all, is when you and I receive Jesus as our Savior. You know why? Because he takes a dead person and makes them live for eternity. He causes you and I that once were lost to now be found. He causes you and I to live forever with him. He also says that old things have passed away and all things have become new. So when you receive Jesus, everything in our life can become new. This is not a fantasy. It's not a fairy tale. This is the power of Jesus. This is what Jesus can do for you and for me. So I know this is basic for some of us, but maybe you're watching me right now in your home in your pajamas drinking some amazing coffee. But I'm going to tell you, if you haven't received Jesus, you got to receive Jesus today. And if you're in this room and you haven't received Jesus, you got to receive Jesus today. He is the way to God. There's one way to God. And I'm not being narrow-minded when I say this. There is one way to God, but there are many ways to Jesus. You can come to Jesus through a strip club, through a whorehouse, through a drug house, through an outhouse, through a doghouse. You can come in the White House. You can come through any house because everyone is welcome to Jesus. But you got to receive him. This is not God being mean. This is not God, you know, punishing people. God made a bridge for man to live forever with him. Jesus came and took our place on Calvary, and he took our sin. Think about all the things we've done, and we know what we've done. And he took it. And then he was raised from the dead, conquered death, so you and I could live forever. I know this is simple, but yet it's profound. And you and I should never lose the wonder of salvation. We should never lose the sense that, man, Jesus has changed my life. We should never grow tired or bored with the idea that, man, I could be anywhere today, but I'm here worshiping God, and God's touched my life, and He made something out of the mess that was me. You and I should never grow tired of that. And so if you don't know Jesus, receive Jesus today. And if you have received Jesus, I pray that the fire of the Holy Spirit would burn in your heart, that you would never grow tired of celebrating Jesus and celebrating all He has done, because He is the greatest adventurer, person, wonder of the world. And when you and I have Him, He walks with me. He talks with me along life's way. This is it. This is the greatest thing. And when you and I see Him, we're going to be in awe of Him for eternity. Jesus is the only person that everything He said about Himself, every prediction about Him, hundreds of years before He came, even thousands of years before He came, came true. All of them came true. Did you know that two Roman, I would call them men that would chronicle the events of the day? This is an historic fact. Two Romans that would, you know, write the history of their culture and write events of the day separately, and obviously they worshiped multiple gods. They had no time for Jesus. Wrote in their blogs or in their logs. They didn't have logs back then, no computers. They wrote down in their logs. They said on the day that Jesus died, on the Passover of the Jewish festival, they said for some strange reason it went black from 12 noon to 3 in the afternoon. It's interesting that history proves, that's just one thing, history proves the fact that Jesus was not a myth, He was a real person, and that not only was He a real person, that He did die on a cross, and even pagan people chronicled the fact that when He died, creation groaned for Him. I'm telling you today, this is why we live. We live and move and have our being through Jesus. And one of our greatest challenges after we receive Jesus is to keep that hunger and that passion for God. That's why we count people, because people count. That's why we count every person that receives Jesus, because when we call on the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. And that's the heart of God. When you walk through the door of Jesus, you're saved. And the second thing, notice, is in verse 9, He says, you shall be saved. Then He says, you shall go in and out, and then this stuck out to me, and find pasture. Now, He's connecting Himself, pasture being spelled as like a field for a sheep. He's referencing Himself as the great shepherd, this amazing shepherd that watches over the sheep. And the Bible, it calls you and I sheep. Now, sheep in the animal kingdom are one of the very rare animals that have no self-defense mechanism. They do not have sharp teeth to bite. There is nothing on their body that has venom to sting or to hurt or paralyze another animal. They cannot run fast. They are slow and awkward. And when something chases them, they're dead. They grow a lot of wool. And they're wobbly, and there's junk in their wool, and they're smelly, and there's really nothing. They're not the lion, right? They're not the beautiful cheetahs. I got to go into a cage with two cheetahs when I was in Africa. I went into their cage and enclosure. I paid the guy $20, or my friend did, rather. We went in and got to pet them. Amazing. They just felt like a cat, just they could kill me. It was interesting, but they're not as pretty as a cheetah. They're not as magnificent as an elephant. But they're totally dependent on the shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. And when you go through the door in your life of Jesus, the greatest thing first is you receive Him. You're saved. The Bible calls it saved. But then the second thing that happens is for your notes, we find pasture. Everyone say pasture. This literally means sustenance. It means food. I love the fact that when you and I follow Jesus, we walk through the door and we receive eternal life, the greatest miracle ever. But then also what we receive is we receive this provision from heaven for our lives. that God begins to provide spiritually and naturally for you and for me. You got to understand that when you receive Jesus as your Savior, He now becomes your chief shepherd who watches over you and your family every single day of your life. He's never leaving you nor forsaking you. He's with you in your car. He's with you when you go to the club. He's with you when you do right, and He's with you when you make a mistake. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with you, and He's with me. And He's giving us provision every day of our life. He's providing for us. He's helping us. We could also translate this, for you and for me, and especially right now for our church, that He provides pasture. In other words, He provides doors of opportunity for you and I to walk through. This is very important because many of us in this room and watching online could probably do pretty good on our own in terms of our acumen, of our ability, earn some money, and just kind of, you know, just deal with life and just kind of keep moving forward and kind of do life in our power. A lot of people do okay doing that. But there's something different when you and I have Jesus in our life. Now there's something more that happens. Not only eternal life, but in this life, I have opportunities that God will open up and that I can walk through that only God can do. Only God can do it. And this is, I want to encourage all of us that you and I will lay down our pride and say, well, I can do my own marriage. I can do my own, you know, parenting. I can do my money. I can do my life. Let me have control. You may do those things really well in your ability, but there will come a point where your ability is not enough. And God can come in and do what we can't. And all of us need that in our life. You see, when you and I receive Jesus as a church, this is for our church and for you individually, there will always come a moment where there will be a door of opportunity. Jesus will open a door for you. It's an opportunity for education. It's an opportunity to have a spouse. It's an opportunity for a business venture. It's an opportunity to grow in your faith. It's an opportunity to move forward into purpose and destiny. Maybe it's a door to find purpose and destiny. Maybe it's a door of healing. Maybe it's a door of forgiveness. A door of redemption, a door of new beginnings, right? And you and I will stand in front of that door, and what's amazing is that people can receive Jesus and walk through His door and receive salvation, but struggle to walk through the door of opportunity that Jesus opens for them. You see, you and I wrote this down this way on purpose, you and I must make the decision to step over fear and walk through the door of opportunity that stands in front of us because of Christ. This may challenge some of your thoughts of God, but there's instances in the Gospels where the Bible's clear that Jesus wouldn't have touched that person or wouldn't have given them a miracle unless that person reached out and compelled him to stay or to move. One instance is the disciples were on a boat in the middle of a storm in the Sea of Galilee. I've been there. That Sea of Galilee is surrounded by mountains and hills, and when a storm comes, it can actually get trapped inside. It's kind of weird to say it, but it can get kind of, it's trapped in kind of this surrounding wall of hills and mountains, and the storms can be boisterous even though it's just a lake. You can see across to them. It's a far lake, but it's not an ocean, but yet the waves can be intense, and they were in one of those storms, and the Bible says that Jesus was walking on the water, and the Bible says He was going to walk past them. And they said, Jesus, and He came into the boat. It's interesting, the Bible's clear, He was going to walk past them. In other words, it wasn't guaranteed that He was going to get in the boat. They had a part to play with their moment of God. You and I have a part to play in our moment with God. You and I just don't sit down and say, well, if God wants to do it, He'll do it. God is doing it. Our role is to walk through the door when it presents itself. So you're going to have doors maybe even this morning. Maybe you have a door, rather, that's opening up to you this morning. Maybe your door is to go to a new level in your marriage and to stop keeping score and to forgive your spouse and to begin to love each other at a whole nother level. Will you walk through that door? Maybe your door is to start a business and you're scared. You feel overwhelmed. Will you walk through that door? Maybe Jesus is opening up a door for you today to forgive someone in your life, from your past, in your present. Maybe he's asking you to move forward. Will you walk through that door? Some of you, maybe the Holy Spirit is leading you to grow in your faith, study the Bible more, get involved in groups, be on the dream team, do something you've never done before. In my business men's group that I have here at the church, we meet once a month. Our men have, or we have three goals this year for us as a group, that all of us will achieve these goals this year. One of the goals out of the three in this group is that all of us will do something we've never done before in our life for God. It could be praying in public for someone. It could be, you know, going on a mission trip. Who knows what it is. But our goal this year is that each of us do something we've never done for God. We step through that door. So that could be a door of, you know, having a challenge to your faith, growing in your faith. Our church is stepping through our door. We have a door, we had a door open up to us in 2012 to come into this building. And we did. We came in here on the first Sunday and had, it was packed out. And the next Sunday went to two services and did our best. And as I've already mentioned, in the last 10 years, God, by his mercy and grace, has made our church 1,000 times more. We walked through the door then. And then as we grew and the kids are out of room and we grew to four services here and navigating all this, we had an opportunity to build over here and to make more room on our property and really give our children a chance to grow and have plenty of rooms and space for them and do all these things for the teenagers and I believe this generation and to do our best for parents. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you as an individual are standing in front of a door that as you receive Jesus, we're saved. And then after we're saved, there's doors that open up through faith that come to us that we have to decide, are we going to walk through or not? And when you and I walk through those doors, something amazing happens. We're standing in front of our door today. Next week, we're going to walk through that door and start worshiping in a new space. Why are we doing this? Well, just like you would do it on an individual level, to discover something new, to see what God can do in the next room of your life, to see what God can do in the next room of our church, to see what God can do through teamwork and faith and unity and possibilities that come when people believe that God can do anything to someone who believes. To walk through the door and to see your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your roommate, people come to Jesus by the thousands and be touched by the presence of God. To be a part of something bigger than ourselves so that we can grow past ourselves and glorify our God. So we stand here today as a church and we're getting ready to walk through the door of Jesus. Jesus has done this. This is not my ability. And we have a great team. Our team is amazing. In fact, give them a hand. They're awesome. Thank you so much for the team here. The team is amazing, but it doesn't matter how amazing our team is or isn't. If God isn't in it, it's not going to work. And so if you haven't received Jesus, go through his door, him as the door, and receive him as Savior. Then just know, after you receive Jesus as Savior, you and I will come to moments in our life where it's a moment to seize the day. And it's kind of weird in that Jesus was going to walk past them in the storm. It's not God being mean. It's kind of like, will you seize the moment? Will you step over fear and seize the day of opportunity that God gives you? And ladies and gentlemen, not everyone at times seizes that moment. Fear overwhelms them. The unknown overwhelms them. Change stops them. The comfortability of your seat in this room may tempt you to not want to find a new seat. But you got to find a new seat because they're bigger seats and they're more cushion seats and they're better seats. You got to find a new seat. You got to be able to embrace change and step through and say, Jesus, I've received you with the greatest gift. And now I want to walk through the other doors you open up to show me what you can do through my life. I've said this before when I've preached here, and I want to say this again before I move to my next point, my last one. I've been in rooms, people's rooms in their homes. I've been in hospital rooms. I've been in different situations like that where I've seen people getting ready to die that were filled with regret, angst, strife, and the room is amazingly hollow in those moments. Then I've been in rooms where there was love, connectivity to one another, almost a celebration of life, a sense of peace with one another. And the difference was amazing. There was so much love and energy and life in those rooms versus the other ones. It was a stark difference. And as I've been in these moments more and more, I've realized one of the things, and there's many things, so it's not fair to say one thing, the only thing, but one thing that dictates and determines that is, as I've known families and known situations, it's this thing of regret. Living life, leaving nothing behind. Living life, loving hard. What's that quote? Love like you've never been hurt. Dance like no one's watching. And move forward through the door and live with nothing to regret. And in those moments is where we apprehend purpose and destiny and faith, and we take risk and we take a chance and we move forward as a church. We move forward as people, and God does miracles. I'll never forget when I was a young man out of Bible school, and I was only 10. And so I remember, that was a bad joke. I didn't get that. That was a bad joke, I'm sorry. But I was just out of school. I was 20 years old, never had seen someone die at that point, and I told this before. And I remember I got a call. I was at the church there working, and a lady in our church's husband had a heart attack. I remember rushing over to the hospital, being in the emergency room, and him, they ripped his shirt open. They were, shocking him, trying to shock his heart back into its rhythm. And I remember just, they had him on some type of support, keep him alive for a little bit. And I remember praying with her, and her name was Luzetta. And I remember praying for him. And I just felt like, I just sensed like it was coming to an end. I remember I walked to the doorway to look out to see if their family was there, and the heart thing just went, it just flatlined. He just flatlined. And I remember something that touched my heart is this woman of faith. I wish everyone could have been there, because she made the nurse cry, and the nurse just turned around and just wept. She, when he died, she just immediately just leaned over him and began to thank God. Literally, thank you, Jesus, for 43 years. Thank you for 43 years of marriage. Thank you for all of our children. Thank you for our grandchildren. God, I love him. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for my husband. And just begin to worship God. And in that moment, the presence of God filled there. It was like even in death, she left nothing back. She walked through the door. Walk through the door. Walk through your door. Seize your moment in God. Jesus said, you'll be saved, you'll find pasture, and then in closing, notice in verse 10, you and I find protection. Jesus said that the thief, our enemy, comes not but to kill us, to steal from us, and to destroy us. But Jesus has come. Aren't you glad for Jesus? That we might have life, and that we might have his life more abundantly. I want to encourage you today before I step aside is that when you walk through the door, our door, this is us, all of us are the same. More than we admit, all of us are alike. We all have a past, good and bad. We all navigate that past in the present on different levels in different ways. Then we're all reaching for a future, believing that it's going to get better than it is right now. And in God it will. And when you and I walk through our door, Jesus being our door, when you walk through that door, you and I are saved. We call on Jesus and we receive Christ. Then after we receive Christ, just know, I'm just challenging everyone, that you will have doors presented to you. And when those doors come, you have a decision to make. Will you walk through that door? Because Jesus has pasture for you. Opportunities, new levels, faith. He has something for you. And then the final thing is, he has protection for you. So as you go through the doors of business, as you go through the doors of marriage, as you go through the doors of faith, as you go through the doors of growth, as you go through the doors of a new building, as you go through the doors of trying to do more for Jesus as a church, as you go through the doors of whatever it is, of forgiving your parents, of forgiving your ex-spouse, of forgiving whoever it is, whatever the doors, as you go through that door, we have a promise that yes, we have an enemy, and he so desperately wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to steal from us. But the good shepherd's there, and he beats back the enemy of our soul. He keeps us safe. I think about Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall be behind me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Come on, if you believe in this shepherd, give him a great praise today. He has your back. Jesus has you. Come on, give him a great praise today. He's our door of hope. He's all that we have. As you stand to your feet today, I feel Jesus today. If you don't mind, if you're so comfortable, raise your hands with me. I'm going to raise mine with you. The Bible says, lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Bible says in the Old Testament, lift up your hands as the evening sacrifice. Father, we lift you up today in this moment, in this worship experience. We're so thankful for what you've done. Lord, we're so grateful. Summer and I are so humbled to be a part of this great church and these great people. I thank you, Lord, for those watching us online, and thank you for your Holy Spirit moving in this room and moving into the homes and the areas that they're watching. And I thank you, Jesus, that every one of us would receive you today and walk through the door and be saved. I also thank you, Lord, that you would give us all courage. That after we receive you, that we would walk through the doors you bring to us. We would step over fear. We would move forward in faith. We would seize the moment of opportunity. Bless the people, I pray, God. Bless their homes. Bless their marriages. Bless their finance. Bless their health. Keep them safe. Let them seize what you have for them. And let none of us live in regret. But let us live a life that is fully to you, leaving nothing on the table, but giving it all to you. Jesus, as we go forward as a church, we ask you to be with us. Because with you, anything is possible. Without you, nothing is possible. Thank you for protecting us as a group and as individuals. And thank you that the best is yet to come. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise today. He's worthy. He's worthy. Man, I feel God. And I feel God on this today. Go ahead and bow your head to heaven. What's your next steps? A door, literally, no matter who we are in this room and online, every one of us are standing in front of a door today. For some of you, you're standing in front of the door of salvation. You've never received Jesus. Today is your day to receive Jesus. Others of you, you have received Jesus, but today at one point in your life, but right now in this moment, you are far from God and you know it. Both of those are biblical positions, and yet Jesus fixes both of them. He's the answer for both. Some of you find yourself in front of that door. Some of you find yourself in front of the door of opportunity. Could be opportunities, like I said, of so many things, relational opportunities, forgiveness, healing, business, healing. Could be the door of faith, the door of a new level for you, whatever you want to call it, and you're standing in front of that door, and really God is asking you and I, will you and I walk through that door? And all of us have protection to move forward in our life. And he's the chief shepherd watching over us, and we will be safe. So if you haven't received Jesus today, you've never received Christ. Others of you would say, I have, but in this moment, my heart is far from God. I know it, and I want to change. If that's you in this moment right now, please raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today. Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Someone's coming to Christ. God bless you. Good. Someone's coming. Good. Someone's coming to Jesus today. I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Then as your head is bowed, of course, as a church, we're walking through this door together, the door of opportunity, the door of purpose in Jesus, new room, new facility, using this facility for the next generation, this generation, all that. But you would also say, personally, I find myself standing in front of a door, and I want courage to step through it. I want faith to move forward and to do what God's called me to do. If that's you today, please raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you in this room. Good. Hands up all over. Good. Thank you so much. Follow me in this prayer so no one's left out. And please say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours, and I run to you. Please forgive me. For anything wrong in my life, I lay it down. I turn away from it. I give it to you. I give you all of me. And I receive your gift of salvation. Save me. And I receive courage to walk through the door of provision. You provide pasture for me. And help me walk through it. In Jesus' name.